Osho, Zarathustra, A God That Can Dance. Commentaries on Friedrich Nietzsche's Thus Spake Zarathustra, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 3.
Beloved Book One. When Zarathustra arrived at the nearest of the towns lying against the forest, he found in that very place many people assembled in the market square, for it had been announced that a tightrope walker would be appearing. And Zarathustra spoke thus to the people, "I teach you the Superman. Man is something that should be overcome. What have you done to overcome him? All creatures hitherto have created something beyond themselves. And do you want to be the ebb of this great tide and return to the animals rather than overcome man? What is the ape to men? A laughing stock or a painful embarrassment? And just so shall man be to Superman, a laughing stock or a painful embarrassment. You have made your way from worm to man, and much in you is still worm. Once you were apes, and even now, man is more of an ape than any ape. But he who is wisest among you, he also is only a discord and hybrid of plant and of ghost. But do I bid you become ghosts or plants? Behold, I teach you the Superman. The Superman is the meaning of the earth. Let your will say, the Superman shall be the meaning of the earth. I entreat you, my brothers, remain true to the earth, and do not believe those who speak to you of superterrestrial hopes. They are poisoners, whether they know it or not. Once, blasphemy against God was the greatest blasphemy. But God died, and thereupon these blasphemers died too. To blaspheme the earth is now the most dreadful offense, and to esteem the bowels of the inscrutable more highly than the meaning of the earth."
Zarathustra found this assembly . Certainly these were not the people who deserve a Zarathustra and his message. But these are the only kind of people all over the earth. There is no other kind. Hence, Zarathustra spoke thus to the people, without wondering whether they deserve it, whether they will be able even to comprehend what he is saying. But he is like a rain cloud, so burdened with wisdom that he wants to rain anywhere, he wants to empty himself. The riches of his joy, his silence, his blissfulness have become so heavy. That he needs anybody to share them. The question is not whether they deserve it or not. Certainly this was not the assembly to hear him. But a rain cloud, even rains on his stones, rocks. On unfertile land, the rain cloud cannot discriminate. His whole problem is how to unburden himself. And the first sentence that he utters, contains his whole philosophy, his whole religion. I teach you the Superman. Man is something that should be overcome. What have you done to overcome him? Nobody has said it so pointedly, so clearly. That man has to transcend himself, that he has to go beyond himself. That man is something that should be overcome. You should not be satisfied by just remaining man. You should move beyond all that is human. And everything that is within you belongs to man. To be a Superman means dropping your mind, dropping your ideologies, dropping your instincts, dropping your intelligence, moving totally beyond all your conceptions about men. The Superman is his teaching. And his insight about it is derived from a very natural phenomenon. All creatures hitherto have created something beyond themselves. That's the whole theory of evolution. Every creature has produced something beyond itself. The apes have created man. You cannot even conceive that they are your forefathers. The distance is so much. The transcendence is so great. Scientists say life began in the oceans as a fish. From the fish to man, every creature has been giving birth to something that transcends him. But suddenly, coming to man, the whole evolution has stopped. Man simply gives birth to another man. And do you want to be the ebb of this great tide? And return to animals rather than overcome man? What is the ape to man? A laughing stock, or a painful embarrassment? And just so shall man be to the Superman, a laughing stock or a painful embarrassment. You have made your way from worm to man, and much in you is still worm. In fact, the whole evolution from the fish to man is still within you. It has left its footprints in your consciousness. Every child in the 9 months of mother's womb passes through all the stages that humanity has passed from fish to man. And we have all the tendencies which prove that even if Darwin is not found to be right biologically, psychologically he cannot be refuted. Your mind still carries the monkey. Your behavior is still below human. Your humanity is not skin deep, just a little scratch, and you will find the gorilla coming out. Just a little humiliation, and you are ready to kill or to be killed. You are carrying all the violence of all the animals. You are carrying all the instincts of all the animals. Once you were apes, and even now, man is more of an ape than any ape. Because apes have not created world wars. They are simple people. They are not piling up nuclear weapons to commit a global suicide. Man's violence seems to be unlimited. But he who is the wisest among you, he also is only a discard. And hybrid of plant and of ghost. But do I bid you become ghosts or plants? Even the wisest amongst you, behave in moments of weakness like fools, idiots. The idiot is not very far away. He is just hiding behind you. A little provocation and it comes out. And it takes over you. Your mastery is so superficial. It can be destroyed so easily. Even the wisest amongst you is a discard, is not a harmony, is not an organic unity, is not an orchestra. So many voices, a big crowd, everybody is carrying within himself Have you not observed the crowd within? How many people live inside you? How many faces you have? Perhaps you have not even counted. Perhaps there are too many to be counted. When a Sufi mystic came to his master, renouncing the world, the family, the friends, the family and the friends and the whole village had come to see him, perhaps they may not see him again. He was going on a long pilgrimage to find a master. Their eyes were full of tears. He tried to console them and he said to them that now you should go back. This is the boundary of our town, a small river. Now let me be alone. Don't delay me. He reached into the mountains, and when he entered the hut of his master, the master looked at him and said, "You can come in, but alone." He looked both the sides. There was nobody else. He said, "I am alone." The master said, "Don't look sideways. Look inside. I can see a crowd. A crowd of your friends, your relatives, your family, your neighbors, full of tears in their eyes. Just leave them out and until you are alone, don't enter in, because I can deal only with individuals, not with mobs, not with crowds." The man closed his eyes and was surprised. All the people that he has left far behind were still there in the mind. Their memories, their images. He went out and had to remain out for 3 months. Just sitting by the side of the door where people used to leave their souls, having nothing else to do, he would polish their souls while they were meeting with the master. But his desire and longing was sincere. Polishing the shoes of the visitors for 3 months, slowly, slowly, the crowd dispersed. And one day the master came out, took his hand in his hands and invited him in and said, "Now there is no need to wait outside. You are alone and our work can begin." Even the wisest, says Zarathustra, are nothing but a crowd. Not a single voice, but so many voices, a marketplace, contradicting each other. No harmony, no akar. Behold, I teach you the Superman. The Superman is the meaning of the earth. Let your will say, the Superman shall be the meaning of the earth. I entreat you, my brothers, remain true to the earth. What he means by Superman, exactly what I mean by the new man. I have dropped the word super for a certain reason. It can be misunderstood. It has been misunderstood. It gives the idea as if the man who is going to succeed you will be superior. It humiliates you. And perhaps that is the reason why the Superman has not arrived. Because who wants to be inferior? If the Superman is going to make you a laughing stock, perhaps that is the basic reason why man has not only not tried to go beyond himself, he has done everything to prevent anyone to go beyond himself. Perhaps he crucifies Jesus for a certain reason. Jesus is an insult to humanity. He poisons Socrates, perhaps not knowing exactly why, but I can see the very presence of Socrates is embarrassing to him. The very height of Socrates, the clarity, the intelligence. In every way the superiority is unbearable. The crowd cannot tolerate. Socrates has to be destroyed. He makes millions of people feel inferior. It is not that he wants you to feel inferior. He wants you to become as superior as he is. But it is in the very nature of things. Neither he wants you to feel inferior, nor you are devoid of the longing to be superior. But the reality is such that when there is a Socrates or a Jesus or a Mansur, you suddenly feel yourself pygmies. Zarathustra is right. What is the ape to man? A laughing stock or a painful embarrassment? And just so shall man be to the Superman, a laughing stock or a painful embarrassment. In my understanding, this is the reason why man has not listened to all those people who could have helped him. For a greater, more joyful, more truthful, more authentic, more poetic and more beautiful existence. I have dropped the word Superman very deliberately. I call the coming man the new man. It does not carry any connotation of superiority. It does not humiliate you. It simply declares the arrival of the new. Words are not just words. Because they are going to have impressions on you. Just like Zarathustra, I say unto you, I teach the new man. And my new man is exactly the Superman of Zarathustra. But I will not call it the Superman. That is a wrong word, and it has been a great hindrance in the progress of humanity. In many ways, Adolf Hitler got the idea of Superman from Friedrich Nietzsche, from Zarathustra. Adolf Hitler is not a man of great intelligence or a man of great understanding. He is almost a retarded human being, insane. But the word Superman in the hands of Adolf Hitler became the Second World War. It killed 6 million people. Zarathustra would have never thought. Neither Nietzsche would have ever conceived that their philosophy will fall in the hands of a madman. And of course, he will interpret it according to his own understanding. To him, the Superman is a super warrior, a super soldier, a man of steel. And he declared that the Nordic Germans are going to be the race of the coming Superman, that they are going to rule over the world. In fact, it is the privilege of the Superman to rule over all those who are inferior. A strange fate of the word Superman. In the hands of a madman, it became something which Zarathustra would have never dreamt. The German race is privileged to rule over the whole world for the simple reason because it is superior. It is going to be the womb of the Superman. And Superman is the salt of the earth. Superman is the meaning of the earth. The same word Superman was used by Sri Aurobindo in India. And the meaning changes completely. In Sri Aurobindo's hands, the Superman becomes the immortal man, physically immortal. Spiritually, man has always been told, you are immortal. Sri Aurobindo gave his own interpretation that I am working to find the right discipline, the right methodology to transform you physically immortal. And the people who were most afraid of death became his disciples. Just as a tree can be known by its fruits, a master can be known by his disciples. I have been in contact with many followers of Sri Aurobindo. One of my friend was in Sri Aurobindo's ashram when he died, and I had been arguing with him that this is simply nonsense. Physical immortality is not possible. Because to be physically immortal, you will have to change the whole program of the cells of the body, and there are 7 million cells in the body which have the whole program, and even scientists are not able to find a way how to change their program. If we can change their program, then perhaps things can be different. For example, if you want immortality, then man should stop at a certain age and should not grow beyond that. For example, he should remain always young and never become old. If he becomes old, then the next step is the grave. And I told my friend that you can see Sri Aurobindo is old, and soon he will be dying. But this is a beautiful argument, because if he does not die, at least for the time he goes on living, his idea remains without being refuted. But if he dies, then with whom you are going to argue? With the dead body that you used to say physical immortality? But the person who is dead does not care, is no more there, And one day Sri Aurobindo died, and my friend gave me a telegram that don't be deceived by the newspaper reports. He has not died. He has gone deep into samadhi. He has gone so deep inside himself that now there is no need to breathe, no need for heartbeats. He has gone to look for the final touches of his methodology that will make people immortal. They kept his body for 3 days, waiting, singing, praying, and hoping that he is not dead. But after 3 days, the body started stinking. Then they became afraid that now to keep the body is dangerous. People will start spreading the news that the body is stinking, the man is dead. Believers are so blind that they immediately put his body into a marble grave, and they still continue to believe that he is working hard inside the grave to find out the secret formula.